Today I'd like to ask you, do you know what's going to happen in 44 days? You say, I can't think of what's going to happen in 2 days. What do you mean 44 days? 44 days will be the Feast of Trumpets. 44 days, a month and a half, less than a month and a half. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And of course, we know that's one of God's annual holy days, and it's the beginning of the fall festivals. And it's one that's very important to each and every one of us. And do you realize when the last holy day was kept? How many years ago that was fulfilled? 31 AD, right? Pentecost. How many years ago you think that was? 1947 years. So I would say we're getting closer and closer to the Feast of Trumpets coming. And that's going to be good news for each and every one of us. Because that's when Christ returns. And all of us who are doing His will and have been called will be raised up either out of the grave or in a twinkling of an eye and a change. We'll be raised up to meet Jesus Christ and be a part of His army that's coming down. That is something that you and I are very fortunate to know. That is what the calling that God has given you and me has opened our eyes and minds to understand. God's holy days, the fulfillment of them. And this is going to be the next one that's going to be fulfilled. And we are going to be a part of this one, one way or another. Whether you're dead and you're raised up, or whether you're alive and you're changed in a twinkling of an eye, you and I will see Jesus Christ. Can you imagine looking up, coming down out of the sky, this massive army, and Jesus Christ riding on His white horse, leading the charge? And we know when He comes back, what? He's going to defeat the earth. He's taken over the earth. He's going to take care of you and me. And we're going to be a part of His army and a part of God's plan for eternity. It is a must that you and I be there. Don't think we have to. Trumpets. Because that's all we do have. Because after that is Day of Atonement, and those who make it to trumpets will be the God the Father. And those who aren't there at the time with Jesus Christ will not be with God the Father on atonement. Others aren't resurrected till later. We're in training during that time before the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's what we're doing now as kings and priests. You and I are being trained. You know? And I hope we understand that if it was in 2,000 years, you know, we would have how many more years from what I just said to you? I said it's 1,947. It means if it was 2,000 year period, which nobody knows. Nobody knows the day or time. There would be 53 years left. Maybe. Well, wait a minute. You got to take off that 31 years. Whoa. That makes a difference, doesn't it? You take 31 and add to that, that's 1978. Whoa. Now we're getting down to 22 years. If 2000 would be the period. Get your attention just a little bit more, because we can understand 20-some years. And we need to understand it. Because on this day of trumpets, it's a time that you and I will rejoice, just as we rejoice with God on the Sabbath day. But I think we'll be a little bit more excited even than that, because we know that God's plan is coming and we are going to be a part of it. We have made it. Mr. Armstrong used to say years ago, in the end, we win. And that's exactly what we do when we make it to the Feast of Trumpets. We are winning. And we'll be winners from that day forth. Because we'll not be in His kingdom unless we have met the criteria that God has set forth for us. But I'm trying to make it just a little bit more meaningful that time could be closer than you think. Time could be closer than I think. Because you see, we get so wrapped up in this world. We get so wrapped up in things going on. Last week, Mr. Barker talked about, where are we at? Give us some ideas of what we need to do. We're halfway through the year, he told us. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But that's how fast time goes. In 44 days, you're starting a fall feast. We're there. A few days after that, guess what? We're keeping atonement 9 days later. And then from there, we go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll be working and doing God's will with others, teaching them His way of love, His way of happiness, pure truth. And we'll be able to explain it because we will understand it and we will know it. But in 66 days, it's all over. All feasts are gone. A little over 2 months. Think about that. You say, wow, it seemed like it was a long way off. No, it's not. And neither is the Feast of Trumpets, the feast when Jesus Christ will return. It's closer than we think. And from that time forward, we'll be going pretty fast. Because it will come a lot quicker. But between Pentecost and the trumpets, seemed like a long time. In our physical years, it is. To God, it's just a short period. Because we are known by 7 day week and 365 days a year. God has no limit on time. He doesn't have a timetable. He knows when He's going to do things, but He is not on a 7 day week. What He does in 7 days, we couldn't think about doing. And someday we're going to see what He does in 7 days. He did the creation. Think about it in Genesis. He created the whole world. Animals, everything, mountains, everything there was created in 6 days. I said seven, but the seventh day was the day that He set aside as a holy day for you and me to rest from our daily toil, because He knew we were physical. God doesn't get tired. Christ doesn't get tired. We as human beings get tired. But this is no time to get tired. You and I are living in the most exciting times of the world, because we're seeing the world go downhill so quick. And you and I are calling out for God to return. Because there's suffering, there's pain, there's headaches, there's sorrows. And you know, we're the blessed ones in this world. You know, it used to be the old statement, good, bad, and ugly. Well, there's one good, but there's two bad and ugly. Well, we're getting into the ugly of this world. The world has gone down terribly in the last few years, and it's going to get worse. Think about that. It's going to get a whole lot worse. So you and I, as we're getting ready to go to the Feast of Trumpets, preparing for it, thinking about it, we need to keep these things in mind. We need to keep these things in mind that God made the Feast of Trumpets for you and I and all mankind later on. Let's go back to Leviticus 23, if you will. Verse 24, Leviticus 23, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial. What's a memorial? How many memorials do you see in the world? They have a memorial for Vietnam vets. They have memorials for, you know, great men. But this is a memorial that the living God has. Again, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Only God can make a holy convocation. Only God can do that. You and I can't do it. No man can do it. Because, see, God can do all things. And when he makes a holy convocation, then that means we're to stop and do exactly what he says on that day. And on that day, the blowing of the trumpets, we're looking forward to when Christ comes back. And on that day, you and I will rejoice with everyone that God has called up to that time and opened our minds to the truth. We think we're pretty small right now. We are. You know, and I'll bet when we have all the people resurrected who are going to be first fruits, it's going to be very small comparative to the rest of the world. Think about that. We think we're small now. The numbers are going to be humongous when everybody is given the opportunity that you and I have now. God has called us to be kings and priests, and that's what we're to do. It says on this holy convocation in verse 25, you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now this is the Israelites. We give offerings. We have Jesus Christ for our sacrifice, so we don't have quite the same thing. But we have Jesus Christ working on our behalf every day. And he goes to the Father on our behalf. We pray, we fast, God hears. Christ intercedes for us. That's why it's so important when we hear announcements that we pray and fast for these people who are hurting. They're our brothers, they're our sisters. Have you forgot when you hurt? I have to a degree. I remember for 8.5 years, I wouldn't have forgot. I want to tell you right now, I didn't forget every day. I knew what it was. But God has blessed me in the last six years or so. I don't have that pain anymore. But it does make me realize what others go through. And that's what we need to keep in mind when we hear somebody needs prayers. Because you see, we talk about love, and God is love. God loves each of us, and God forgives us when we ask. And who gave his life for that? Jesus Christ. So we could have that opportunity. And sometimes we think it's just for us. But we know it's not, because John 3:16, but turn there, it isn't just for us. It isn't just for you and me. And I don't know how many of us in here would want to give our son or daughter. If I told you you could have your son die, that each of us will be made well, would you hesitate? If I told you, you could have everybody here be healthy if you would have your son suffer like Jesus Christ did. So it wasn't easy for God either. It wasn't easy for God either, but he did. because he loved all of us and the whole world. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's exactly what God wants you and me to have. That's what he wants for the whole world. There isn't one child that he doesn't love, because he's the creator. He's the father. There's not one of my five children that I don't love. And I wouldn't do what I could for them. But boy, you know, if you told me I could pick out one of your children and give them for all of you, you got to mar Abraham. You got to mar Abraham. He never act like he ever gave a second thought. He took his own son, and he was going to sacrifice him because God told him to. Will we? Would we? But as a loving God, guess what? He stopped Abraham, didn't he? Because he knew how much he loved his son. And yet he knew what his son was probably going to have to go through at that time, what the plan was. So he knew what Abraham would have gone through. Of course, he could have made him whole, and he probably would have if he'd allowed him to do it. But Abraham had that faith, had that trust. And that's what you and I have to do every day of our lives once we've been called. We have to develop that love and trust in God. But it's not easy living this life, is it? Because like I said, the good, bad, and the ugly, and we're living in the ugly now. And you see it, you see actions of people, you see what goes forth, what comes out of people's mouths, what people say, how they get so upset. And you know, it says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And there's always going to be rumors of war because people are greedy. That's why we have wars. Somebody wants something that somebody else has. That's one of the laws of God. And don't covet what someone else has. Don't covet what someone else has. Be happy with what you got. But Satan's there saying, "Oh yeah, but you're stronger than that guy or that country. I think you can beat them up and take them over." Yeah, well, I think I can. That's pure vanity. And guess what? Each of us have that. The wisest man back in Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes. He was a king. Think about this. He was a king. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Vanity, vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And yet he says, "What profit hath a man all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Not going to help us at all. But then you go back to the end of Ecclesiastes. In verse 13, 12:13, Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's of every man. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." This man was known as the wisest man there was, and yet he went out and vanity overtook him. And you know what? Even though we don't have a whole lot, it's so easy to have vanity. And Satan pulls us on that vanity. Your vanity and my vanity. And we have to realize that that's one of the things that God has given you and I an opportunity now to overcome. And when we overcome these things in our life, we grow closer to God. And we grow closer to God, we have more of God's character. And the more of God's character we have, it's going to be easier on the trials that we face. And sometimes you say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I used this when I was in the service years ago. My father disowned me because I'd come into church, became a conscientious objector, and I've been in the National Guard. I had a girlfriend going to be my fiance, and that broke up also. And as you know, whenever you have trials, you get down. Wherever you have sicknesses, you get down after a while. It wears on you. And everybody needs to be cheered up. And we, you and I have the opportunity to do that to our brothers and sisters. All it takes is a phone call. All it takes is a letter. And also your prayers and my prayers. That little bit of help can help them through a day or two if it's really rough. And lets them know that God is there because they can feel the power that God has given them, and it's probably because someone praying for them. Let's go back to verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, and lest he fall. That's why we're supposed to take the big beam out of our own eye. Take the beam out of our own eye, and we'll do a whole lot better than worrying about the little speck that's in someone else's eye. Because you and I have to answer to God the Father. No one's going to be able to answer you. Christ will be there. But when it comes right down to it, we have to answer to God for what we do. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as it... excuse me. I thought I turned this off. It meant I'm supposed to put a drop in my... sorry. You have to take drops every 2 hours. I thought I turned it off. But I'm not good at this phone, I guess. Sorry about that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You can't do it. I can't do it on my own. None of us can. But relying upon God and trusting God and doing what he says, yes, we can do it. Because he will make a way for us to escape. He promises that. And he'll do it. I don't know how many people's... I know we've all had trials. I'm not saying that. But at one time I thought I was going to jail because of my belief. I was in service because I told them I wouldn't go to any more Saturday meetings and work out and do what they said. Had the Adjutant General of Ohio call me at work. And I was working in a little small shop. John Boone owned it. And all of a sudden they say, you have a phone call. I didn't know who would be calling me at that time. Now we're talking back in the 60s now, late 60s. I get on the phone, and this guy says, this is such and such. I'm the general. You know, he says, Adjutant General, he says, you're no longer excused from Saturday drills. Well, what I've been doing, God opened the door, and I'd be able to go down home on a Sunday and do my drill, but then during the week I was able to go to Dayton, and I could do it during the week. Well, because I was putting in conscientious objector papers, they decide to push the button on you, which they have a right to do. And he said, you're no longer excused. This is about 4 weeks before the Feast of Tabernacles. And, you know, I was a young man then. I know some of you figure that's hard to believe, but I was young once. But I was on that phone, and he said, "So you will be there, right?" I said, "No, sir, I won't be there." Man, I could have put the phone out here, and you could have heard him screaming at me. Nobody tells the general that you're not going to do something. Anyone who's been in service knows that. So he said, "You know, I have the right and able to send MPs after you. I can put you I said, "Yes, sir, I understand." He says, "Then you will be there, right? You understand?" I said, "No, sir, I won't be there." Well, he ran it again, put the phone out here. He repeated a third time. When I got done, he didn't rant. He says, "Well, if you're not there, then I have the right to send MPs after you. So I just want you to know, you better be there." I hung up the phone. I was cool, calm, so scared I couldn't hardly believe it. I walked over to a lathe I was working on. I was putting the old manual lathe, you had to tighten them up. And I had halfway tight when they stopped me, and I just went and turned on the machine and tore up the lathe. I said, "I'm sorry, but I just need to go home, I guess." You know. So anyhow, for 30 days, I worried that I wasn't going to keep my last Feast of Tabernacles. Or Trumpets. Or Atonement. I kept three at that time, each for 3 years. And I prayed to God, I said, "Just let me go one more feast before they put me in jail." Because I knew I was going to jail. I just figured it. First week went by. I almost didn't get back to my apartment. First of all, I didn't know how they found out where I worked. But anyhow, 3 weeks went by and nothing happened. I didn't go to any meetings at all. Didn't go to any of them. So it came time to go to the feast. So guess what? I got to go to the feast. So I was a happy guy. But you know what? I learned so much at each one of those feasts. Because I was new in the church about 3 years at a time. And God was merciful. I wasn't very smart, but I think at that time my heart was right. And that's what he does with you and me. Sometimes you and I make some of the biggest mistakes in our lives, probably. And yet God is merciful because he knows that we're trying to do what's right. And Christ is there saying, "Hey, they just need a little bit more. They'll do it. They're doing with the best of what they have." So when I think about the Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement and Feast of Tabernacles, that's what I think about. And it's good to go back and look at things you've gone through, because sometimes we forget what God has done for us. We take it for granted after a while. They say, "Oh, that was so long ago." It was. It was a very important part of each of our lives when we made that decision to obey God over man. As it says in Matthew 6:24, we won't turn to it. You have two masters. We have to choose the right one every time. And if we don't, we have to make sure that we repent quickly, because Christ is there on our behalf. Feast of Trumpets introduces us to the autumn feast festivals. And the Feast of Trumpets depicts nothing less than the return of Jesus Christ to earth to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The book of Revelation reveals the sequence. Let's go to Revelation 11:15, if you would. You've read this many times, you've heard this many times. But let's go back and review it. Verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's hard to comprehend ever and ever because we're humans. But it means indefinitely forever. That's what you and I are working towards now, being trained to become a part of. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And you read on down, the nations were angry and, you know, they wanted to fight. You know, the man with all the power, you can't fight. You're going to lose. When I was a kid, my uncle taught me about fighting. He said, if you're going to get in a fight, he says, make sure you get the first punch. And make sure it's a good one. He said, if that guy doesn't fall back 3 or 4 steps and or fall down, he said, you better turn and run because he's going to kill you. He was a fighter. He was from a small coal mining town. They work hard, they play hard, and they fought hard. But he knew how to fight. But it's really true. 50%, if you talk to anybody, 50% of the first punch, if it's a good one, that's 50% of the battle. Unless you do hit someone who has a jaw like iron, and he's going to whip the tar out of you. And you can either stay there and get whipped, or you can turn and run like a chicken. It's your choice. But I never forgot that. Because that's really true when you see people get in trouble like that. Turn with me to John 18:36, if you would. This is time you remember when Christ was before Pilate. Let's go back to 35. Well, let me see. Go back to 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing in thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, I am a Jew. He said, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So when you heard God's truth and we understood it, why was it? That's why Christ was sent here. God chose us, Christ worked with us, and working with us to this day. And you know he loves us because he gave his life for us. Feast of Trumpets is represented in a lot of different ways. But back in the old times, Israelites and them, trumpets were made for a sound. One was for assembly, one was for fighting, one was for everything. So let's go back to Leviticus 23:24. speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. Every time they heard the trumpets, it was for a reason. You know. And that's what we have to realize, that the trumpets that we're hearing, that God has opened your heart and my heart to hear, the words of truth, the words of understanding, the patience and kindness he gives us. The sounding of one trumpet meant a meeting of the leaders of Israel. Two trumpets sounded to call a gathering of all the people. This is in Numbers 10:3-4. You can look it up later. God also used a trumpet to herald his meetings with Israel when he descended upon Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:16. And then we come to when Christ returns. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise again. Shall rise first. That's why trumpets is so important to us. Because we who are doing his will, that's the first time we'll meet Christ. And we have ran the race, and we will have finished it. And that race takes us to God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, you hear this during Passover. Passover. We'll go back to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit it. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So then the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's where we want to be. That's why we keep the Feast of Trumpets. And it's God's holy day. Because he made it that way, as he makes everything holy, and his plan is perfect. Revelation 11:15, if we'll turn there. This gets back in more into what's going to be happening. Revelation 11:15. Now the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That gives us what? That gives us peace of mind, doesn't it? That gives us the strength and the hope, understanding that if we do our part, this is where we're going to be. This is what God wants. And I know that's what you and I want too, because surely we haven't gone through this to fail at the end, have we? We want to be there on this Feast of Trumpets, rejoicing, being a part of the army that Jesus Christ brings back to defeat the world. And when we are, do you think we'll have the proper shield on? We certainly will. We will have had the right armor as we've been going through all these trials. Because, see, we have to have the armor of God, all of it, to get through the wiles of the Satan, the devil. And when we do, we can go right through it. It may not be easy. We may get a little wound here and there once in a while. But he will never be able to kill us as long as we trust and obey our God. He will see us through all things. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ described to his disciples religious deception, wars, famines, disease, earthquakes, and other calamities. Turn with verse 4 through 13, it talks about it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Take astray or fools you. Think about that. That's a sideline I have put in there. That's not, it says deceive you, but it's taking you astray from God or fooling you in some way that you'll lose the blessing that God has given each and every one of us, with the true blessing coming when we finish the race. Let's be sure we get stronger as we go along. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look at the worlds out there, the people who think they're going to Christ's church. First of all, Christ deceived 90% of them or 95% of them, and they keep Sunday, and that's not his Sabbath day. That's not the day he set aside. God set aside the seventh day. But man wants to change it, and man has changed it because they listened to other men and did not prove it. And God didn't open their minds like he has you and I at this time. We've been called to be the first fruits. We've been called to be trained. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom arise against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That's why you and I must read, study, pray, fast, that we will never betray one another. We're to love one another as God loves us. But it shows the power of Satan. That's why we need that whole armor of God all the time. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. We do not want our love of God or for others to ever wax cold. Because when Satan gets us to do that, he has his hook in us. And then we can be offended. And then we can get upset about small things. And then people look for things to be upset about. Happiness comes from doing God's will. We have God's Holy Spirit that talks about in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace. That's what we have to work on every day. Long-suffering. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. As we saw, the king didn't have, he didn't have self-control. David's son didn't have self-control because he had how many wives and how many concubines? Whew. Cannot imagine. But that just shows the power that Satan does have, because you know, he never quits working. He doesn't want you and I to keep the Feast of Trumpets. He didn't want us to be rejoicing with Christ and God for eternity. He wants you and I to be just as miserable as he is and all those that he has deceived. Let's not let that happen. Let's be sure we're there for each other. Let's be sure that we care and that we show our caring to each other. Because we all have our problems. We all need somebody to talk to sometimes. We all need somebody to express with and become friends with. And the more we know each other, the closer we become as family. We need to be a close family. Families stick together. And we're supposed to be part of the God family, so we need to stick together. In all things. Now and for eternity. But the Feast of Trumpets is a trumpet sounding for all of us to change. And we're going to be changed. Those in the grave first, and the others in the twinkling of an eye. That is our calling. That is our duty. And it's a must that you and I be there. Let that sink in. It is a must that you and I be there. Because we've been called to be there. We've been called to be a part of God's family and plan for eternity, helping others to understand and have the understanding that we have, the blessing of knowing the truth, the blessing of changing from this evil world and learning to have love in your heart, to have peace of mind, to be long-suffering. Because we'll have all this when we're training those who come later at the Feast of Tabernacles. That is our job. We're being trained to be teachers, leaders, examples, not only now, but during that time and for eternity. Can you imagine being perfect? Whew. I wish I could even imagine that. I'm sorry. It's a little bit out of my realm at this time, just as I can't imagine eternity. But I wish that I could say, boy, I've never had a wrong thought or I've never done a wrong thing. And you'd all look at me and say, yeah, right. You know, because we've all broken God's law. And God knew that from the very beginning. He knew how weak man was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have set up Passover from the very beginning. He knew that we'd have to be forgiven. In the Old Testament, he did it with the killing of animals and stuff. And later on, he gave his only son. so that we can be here today and have this opportunity to be forgiven when we do fall. The thing that we need to realize that we need to do most of all is we need to realize it immediately, what we've done, and repent of it. Because usually when you repent of something, you really work hard to keep it away from you and not do it again. I don't know if it was last week or whoever said, you know, if you want to be a great ball player or you want to be a king, you know, the two young men over in England, they've trained all their lives to be a king. That's all they've been trained for. And they may never get it. One of them may. You and I are trained to be kings and priests. It's within our grasp. Do you want it? Do I want it? Well, I certainly hope so. Are we willing to give up everything for it? At one time we said we were because we were baptized. We said, I want this more than anything in the world. We need to think about the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is our calling for those who are ready. We need to be ready. We need to make sure that when we hear that trumpet, we go, yes, sir. And we're being raised up. It's an opportunity that you and I have. I'm not going to get to finish my sermon, Ron. I told you I might not, so it's probably going to be a two-parter. My time's up almost, so I'm going to close with a couple things, and then we'll come back. I'll finish this because the last part of my will be about it's a must. And we're going to talk about what it is a must that we must do. But for today, I want to tell you that I'm certainly glad to be a part of this family here in Dayton. And I hope you are too. I've known a lot of you for many years. We've all known each other. Let's be sure we take the step that we do to love one another. I don't know where I got this from. I showed it to Ron, but I'm going to end this part of the sermon in this. And I may start it with it next time. It's nothing ever can, nothing ever will. Every power on earth and in heaven is a shadow in his light. No authority, law, or government challenges his sovereign might. His reign and rule have no boundary. All that is, his hands have wrought. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. We are well aware we were orphans once. A lot of people don't know what orphans are. You talk to an orphan, they'll tell you how much it is and wonderful it is to have a family. I know some have been orphans, you know, and had separated families and stuff. But can you imagine we don't have to worry about being an orphan? We have a father who loves us. We are well aware we were orphans once, bent and broken in our shame. Then he sought us out and adopted us. Now we bear his royal name. Every sin or crime we have ever done is no match for Jesus' blood. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. We are rescued out of the darkest night, freed from the fear and death's dark, tight hold, and the kingdom of our Savior's light is our soul's eternal home. Though the enemy tries to steal and kill what the death of Christ has brought, nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. Our God is victorious. He always wins. He always wins. In love, he reigns over us. He always wins. He always wins. We, the church, declare Jesus Christ as King, for he conquered death once for all. We will live in light of his victory, following his gospel call. And when the story ends, we know Jesus wins. For his power cannot be stopped, nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. So as we realize it talks about Matthew 5:14, we are the light. That God has called us to be the light. I hope that each of us will continue to shine brightly. I hope each of us will grow. And I hope that each of us will truly be at the Feast of Trumpets when Christ returns, because I know I want to be there with you. So have a great Sabbath. And